Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Comes up to that measure, when we finally meet the fullness of the stature of Christ, when we finally live up to it, not individually, but connected and fitly framed together as a body, when the church comes to that perfect peak, that's when the rapture will take place. When the church has accomplished everything that he designed for it to accomplish, I don't think we're going to come short in any gift. So I want to get translated, but to get translated, I need a testimony. Well, I want to have a testimony. Then live the truth. Don't live somebody else's truth. In fact, it isn't my truth, it isn't your truth, it's his truth. And we have our own stories, but every story is connected to his story because he's the ultimate authority. I want to be a chapter in his book. You want your name written in his book. It isn't my book. They start opening my books, I may be standing in the wrong line. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to judge you according to your works. But if you stand in the great white throne of judgment, Bible said in the books were opened. Because it's the final indictment. How many want to go in the rapture? Now, this is not, when we're talking about this, the spirit of Enoch. We're not, you don't do this to try to intimidate or make somebody just feel, you know, like they're worthless all the time. You know, conviction preaching for a child of God is never supposed to make you feel worthless. Think about it. That's the negative application of it. It's not supposed to make you feel worthless. Because then that would discount the blood. That would dishonor the blood. I can't dishonor the blood. You got the blood applied to your life. I can't dishonor the blood by calling you worthless. But what it does is conviction causes you to live up to what you are worthy of. See the difference? Get off the spiraling descent into negativity when you feel confronted by something or change. It's not meant to make you feel worthless or less than or poor, pitiful old me. That is not a fruit of the Spirit. Pity is not a fruit of the Spirit. But maybe you haven't been in control of some things. So temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. So maybe you need some self-control in some areas. So I say, by faith, I want a testimony that's going to connect me to a translation. I want a righteousness that's going to make me rapture ready. And so if I live on a path of righteousness for his name's sake, you might only be a mile or two down the road. Somebody else might be 4 or 5 miles down the road. But guess what? That guy down there 4 or 5 miles down the road doesn't get to look back and feel better than you. Because Jesus said, if you look back, if you're plowing in a field and you look back, you're not worthy of the kingdom. You know why? Because you're going to mess up the rows. You're going to mess up how the seed is planted. You can't be judgmental and have true growth in the kingdom of God, right? This is where I generally like to talk about. There's a difference between comparative holiness and true conviction of holiness. Comparative holiness means while I'm walking down the road, I can look back and go, look how much further I am down the road than you. You ought to be impressed by all the things that I have accomplished for God. You know what the Lord says? Won't you turn around and look this way? See how far you are from being like me. I didn't call you to be like your brother. Called you to be like Jesus. And then when you are like Jesus, then those of you that are spiritual can help that brother that's fallen in a fall. Not because you're judgmental of him, because you truly want to help him. I can't step on others with my testimony and brag to God about how great I am. He's not impressed. But if I'm going to have a testimony like Enoch, then I realize I need righteousness and I need to keep walking with him. And no matter how far down the road on the journey I am, I still got a long ways to go. And so do you. And let's walk. Let's go. Let's live that by faith. And because you have this great text about Enoch's life, it's like the writer, Apostle Paul, it's like he's like, man, we're all trying to be like Enoch. I mean, he's the one that's going to actually write about the theology of the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4. But it's like, you think about it, because in the next verse, when it talks about he had this, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It just starts right there. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, that's a mouthful. Because up here I've been like, I want to be like Enoch. I want to be rapture ready. I want the trumpet of the Lord to sound. I want my testimony to be true. I want my righteousness to be real. I want to be able to be one that has left a good mark for the kingdom of God, a good reputation for the kingdom of God, and having won souls and having been a part of the expansion of the kingdom of God. I want to be all that. But then he said, let me just put the simplicity of it out there. First of all, you got to believe that he is. We have more young people in this generation being raised on apostolic seats that are struggling with the mere simplicity and fundamentals of their faith to whether God even exists. What happened to the experience? What happened to the kids that were laid out in the altar drunk on the Holy Ghost? Because there are demons of unbelief operating in this world. That if they can get you at the very rudiment of what it takes to please God, you will live the rest of your life in frustration and wandering around in wildernesses of confusion. But when you keep the substance of your faith, let me just put it out there right now, world, devil, foe, and enemy. I believe in God. Oh, no, I'm not just talking about this general application of God. I ain't doing this vernacular of if it's a he or a she. That's hogwash and pig slop. No, God is masculine. He's a king. He ain't coming back as queen. The Bible says he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's just establish that right there. Don't you worry about God needing to get in touch with the feminine part of himself. You and I as men might need to do that if we're marrying a wife, but don't you worry about God is the creator of every emotion. He doesn't have to be a woman to know what a woman needs. Just letting you know, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise God. How did I get off on that? Oh, because I have to believe that he is. But then he is a rewarder. Isn't that, he puts it out there, just so you know, before you get too big for your britches out there, or for your robe. It's right into the New Testament. I don't know how many britches they had. Well, until they would take their, they would gird up their loins, yeah. And then those were like the jams out of the 80s. Y'all don't even know what that is, do you? You don't want to know what they are. They were balloons. Before you get too high and mighty over there, it's impossible to please him. But here's what you need to understand. You got to believe that he is, but he's a rewarder. He's not looking to walk around and punish somebody. He's a rewarder of who? Them that diligently, that means I've got focus. I'm concentrated on something. It's diligent to me. I have a determination. Can't be half-hearted and be diligent. Can't show up every now and then and be diligent. You can't be faithful when you want to and be diligent. But the very operation and understanding of diligence is that my heart is in it. My all is given to it. That diligently seek him. So this is not diligently seeking him. I wonder where I left that envelope. Where did I put that bill? I got a I just don't know what I did with it. I can't find it. It's not walking into a room. You didn't even turn the light on. You kind of run your hand across whatever and come back out and say, "Babe, I couldn't find the shirt." You go in, you're kind of sleepy-eyed, looking at 4,000 ties you got over there wadded up in a tangled mess. "Babe, I couldn't find the tie." That's not diligence. That's spiritual laziness. That's a slothful servant. Diligently seek him. That's like, where was that? What did I do with it? Get a magnifying glass out. Become a detective of your own soul. Work out your salvation with, not frivolity and just casual nature. Fear and trembling, that's diligence. I'm too close to this now to give up. I'm too close to the finish line to turn around and walk away. I'm not going to let somebody else rob me of my walk with God. You have to diligently seek him. So then what's kind of neat is that right after that, he goes back into individual and he says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved." See these words? He didn't just stand around, you know, with an op-ed and an opinion piece and you know, go through philosophies about what could be and what might be and this is what I think it is. No, he got active. He got involved. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, what made you righteous, Noah? Just because you agreed with God? No. You got actively involved with what God gave you to do. He moved with fear. So how does that apply to you today, Mr. Noah? Mrs. Noah? Brother Noah? Sister Noah? How does that apply to you? When that flesh wants to stay home, you get up and move with fear. I'm going to church. Mm-hmm. When this old flesh wants to get offended and suddenly walk away and withdraw from things and go into my turtle shell. No. I move with fear. Why? Because every day I'm working on an ark. I'm building a personal testimony. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A true church, a righteous church, condemns the world. That's why the world hates the church. That's why there is enmity between the carnal mind and the spiritual. There's hostility between the righteous and the unrighteous because they hate your holiness. They despise your doctrine. They don't want anything to do with what you are sold out to. But he moved with fear and he prepared. He moved and prepared. He moved and prepared. He moved in 120 years. He moved and prepared. He built every day. The shadow of that ark loomed a little bit larger over the inhabitants down there in the valley. Those that laughed at him and mocked him and criticized him and ridiculed him and wrote their jokes about him and put together their social media memes. I don't know. They might have had social media. On little tablets of stone, whatever, walking around, whatever. By faith, he moved, he prepared. Lord, help us to keep moving. That's why we say that as an organization, as a church body, we are not just a religious system, because religious systems can continue to function off of things that are dead, but not a movement. A movement can only function off of something that's alive. And it can't stay alive if it doesn't move. It has to move. What makes a stagnant pond? There's no flow. There's nothing coming into it. There's no stream of refreshing. It just sits there and sits there and sits there. Nothing changes about it. It just sits there until all the bacteria and all that junk gets into it, and all the algae and all the sick junk, and all of a sudden now you got to create a little sign with a skull and crossbones on it because you don't want anybody to come down there and drink out of that, but might poison them because it ceases to be a movement. God don't let us become, as Pentecostal people, little ponds of poison and stagnation because we stop being a movement. And it's easy to go, amen. Yeah, well, when's the last time you moved to an altar and prayed? When's the last time you moved to a broken heart and ministered to them? Oh, see, it is. It's move and prepare. It's not just about moving to the table so I can feed myself. What did the Bible say? He prepared the ark so he could be saved. Is that what it said? No, he prepared the ark to the saving of his house. What I do is not just for me. What I do is for my family. And in this context, we have a spiritual family. So it's not just about those within my own four walls. It's about those in the kingdom of God that are my brothers and sisters. And when I come to church, I come to church not just to receive something for myself, but I come to prepare. Prepare in some sense that I might pray for somebody else. Some sense that I might have a word of encouragement for somebody else. That I might have a discerning word that might dig somebody out of a hole somewhere. Moved. He did it. Because he loved God, he moved and he prepared. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, what did he do? Very simple. The Bible said he obeyed. Obeyed, not knowing whither he went. Well, I need somebody to give me details about it before I make a move. But think about the simplicity of faith when you trust the one that's talking to you. If I don't necessarily trust the one I'm talking to, I might need more proof.
or evidence that this is, I don't know. Like, you know, you and I are sitting and talking with each other, and you say, well, I think if you go down this way here, that, you know, it's just past this one particular building, and it's on the corner of, you know, confusion and clarity. If you go down here and you're like, I don't know, that doesn't sound like it. How long have you lived here? Well, I just moved here 3 days ago. I'm going to take directions from some specific place in an obscure place in Denver for somebody that just moved here 3 days ago. I'd probably be better off talking to somebody that's lived here for years, especially if they've lived in that area and know that region. Abraham didn't even know where he was going, but he trusted the voice that spoke to him, not knowing whither he went. But notice this whole animation, this whole release of authority and blessing and prosperity that will come. Your seed is going to possess the gate of his enemy. They're going to be like the stars of heaven and the sand on the seashore. I mean, all of that, where did it start? When he heard something, he obeyed. He obeyed. That's why when you go into Genesis chapter 12, in those first seven verses, you have what I call heard, moved, manifested. It's something I teach on apostolic concepts. Because he heard the voice of the Lord when the Lord called him. And then the Bible said he departed, so he made a move. But it wasn't until verse 7 that God revealed himself to him. You look at that when you get a chance later. Go to Genesis 12 in the first few verses, 1 through 7. You'll see that he heard God, God called him. And about verse number 4, he departed. And about verse 7, the Lord manifested himself for the first time. But he didn't manifest himself first. He heard, he moved, he manifested. Going back now to Hebrews chapter 11, he's called to go out into a place. He's never been there. He doesn't know necessarily where he is going, but he obeys, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Sojourned. That's not specific directions. Sojourned. He wants me to go over here for a while. Okay, no, he wants me to go over here for a while. Well, how are you going to keep from being confused, Abram? I'm going to build altars. My landmarks will be altars. You'll be able to come back and find these places later because I'm going to build altars. What are altars? Oh, my communication with God. It isn't just a place of sacrifice. For Abraham, it was much more than that. It was a place of communion with God and marking that territory that here is a place where I had communion with God. So while I'm searching, while I'm looking, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. The heirs with him of the same promise. What did they learn from daddy and granddaddy? They learned, if you're going to sojourn, if you're going to be a seeker, if you're going to walk with God, you ain't always going to know where you're going, but it doesn't matter where you are. You can build an altar. You can talk to God. You can have communion with that the one that created the stars of heaven. I think that's encouragement to my soul. Because the same God of Father Abraham is no respecter of persons. If I'm building an altar, he'll come and bless me just like he did Abraham. He'll show up for this church just like he did for the children of Israel, and even more so because you are adopted by the Spirit. You have a spiritual inheritance. We need to be operating in it. We need to be walking in it. How do we do that? We do that by faith. Not just faith in something, faith in substance. I got a word from God. Sometimes that's all you will have. When the feelings are gone and the thrills are done and the congregation of the righteous is absent, when you are by yourself in the ruins, by yourself stumbling and staggering through the deserts of life, falling into the pits, trying to pick yourself up, all you have is a word to hold on to. And it's the word of God. It might be one verse in the Bible. It might be one highlighted text in the Bible. But I'm going to hold on to it. Because it's the fundamentals of my faith. It's foundation. It's substance. It's supportive. It's authentic. It's real. So go ahead, Abraham. Where are you going? Oh, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Foundations. No, I'm not just looking for a quick fix. I'm not just looking for something to make me feel good. I'm not just going sightseeing here. I'm not a tourist in the church.
I want to be a disciple in the church. I want to be a resident of the house of God. Don't just be an overnight guest. Don't treat the church just like an every now and then rest area. You are the church. What are we looking for? We're looking for something that hath foundation. It's got substance in it. When we get to it, it'll be everlasting. When we get to it, it'll never come to ruination. When we get to this, there'll be no desolation of that thing. Not this one that God's building. And it's whose builder and maker is God. You heard me preach on this and teach on this a few weeks ago, so I won't reiterate that. But I want something that's got foundations. I've taught this for years. Foundations don't move. You can move around looking for fountains, wells, springs. You go to Genesis 26, they dug for a well here, and that one didn't quite provide what they needed because they were having contention with other inhabitants and citizens of the land. So they moved and dug over here, and then they would move and dig this well. So you can move in different areas and dig wells and fountains, but foundations don't move. The foundation of the Word of God isn't going to change for anybody. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled. It's not soft concrete that just got poured and you can still put your handprint in it. No, it's the hardened concrete. You're not, and that, there's more than that. It's a rock. You ain't going to be able to chisel this thing away or take a jackhammer of modern day human religion or opinion and make it something else. So how am I going to get there? What makes me continue to search? It's because I'm looking for something and it's got foundations. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. See how it spread? Husband believed it. Future mama's going to believe it. I know in the context she laughed at first, but after she got corrected, she believed. That's what the book says. She believed. Otherwise, she could never have conceived if she didn't first come to that place where she believed. So this is encouragement to you, friend. You may have first started out listening to what the possibilities were with doubt. You may have laughed at it. You may have had a sarcastic reply to it. But when the Holy Ghost corrected you, when the Holy Ghost confronted you and said, are you going to believe my word? And you said, oh God, forgive me. Yes, I will believe your word. She even named him Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Isn't God? He's great. He's got a sense of humor. He caused her to name what she first did in doubt would become the future identity in her family. He took a negative and turned it into a seed. What can God do with me today and you today when I allow the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God, to be conceived in my spirit? Well, it's too late for me. Oh, no, she was delivered of a child when she was past age. And I know those things can still happen today, but it really is more of a spiritual application. Now, I want to tell you, it's not too late. You haven't gone too far. The clock has not run out. Time has not expired. You are still in the generation and dispensation of the church. You are still operating as a joint heir of Christ. So don't you allow the spirits of this age to cause you to just sit back and be slothful and frozen in fear and only continuing with a dialogue of doubt. I want you to hear the word of God. Because of Abram's step of faith, it spread down into Sarai. But oh, it isn't just going to be Sarai. It's going to be Sarah. She ain't just a high mother. Not just going to be a grandmother. She's going to be a mother of many nations. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. How did you get there, Sarah? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Somewhere, think about it, I want you to be encouraged. You may have spent the last 6 months doubting that God would do it. But if when you come to that spiritual alignment, when you get right in that path, and now you're right back in the place where you should be, and it's pulsating in your spirit. It's in your heart now. It's not just something you've thought about, but it becomes a passion in your spirit. And now you begin to say, oh, yeah, I judge him faithful who had promised. It may not happen when I've got it marked on my calendar according to my appointment book. He don't work on my schedule. I got to get on God's schedule. When I get on his schedule, I judge him faithful who had promised. Now you start talking about stars. Wow, look at that. That's amazing. How many kids you going to have? Doesn't matter, because Isaac's the promised one.
She judged him faithful who had promised.
When I consider your cost, I feel that giving you my life is the very least that I can do.
I give you my heart, my soul belongs to you, Jesus. You are the one, the only one who's worthy of all of my praises. I give you all.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.